Our Old Testament reading this morning will come from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 61 we'll be reading from, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 10, and then we'll go through Isaiah 62 to verse 3. And it is found on page 641 of your pew Bibles. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with the garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, or as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Our epistle reading will come from Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. It is found on page 1014. We'll be reading from chapter 4, and we will read verses 4 through 7. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So through God, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. In our gospel reading this morning, will come from the Gospel of Luke. The second chapter of Luke's Gospel, we'll be reading from verse 22 through verse 40. It's found on page 889 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word again for us. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against. And the sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and as a widow till she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Both Mary and Joseph have been on quite an adventure since the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that she was God's favored one, the one who would bear the Christ child into the world. They have gone up and done a great deal of traveling together, as we read during our New Year's Eve service. Because of an edict from Caesar, they leave their home in Nazareth to travel to Bethlehem, the hometown of Joseph, to register for a census. It's not a terribly long journey, but it can be a difficult one if you're expecting a child and the only accommodations is a stinking stable with the manger in it. But that's where Mary goes, that's where Joseph goes, that's where Mary has the baby, Jesus. And that is where the shepherds come to Mary and reveal to her everything that the great angelic host have revealed to them, that this little baby Jesus is not an ordinary baby, but he is the Savior of the entire world. And so Mary and Joseph marvel and ponder the words that the shepherds bring to them about this little baby Jesus born in Bethlehem on Christmas Day. But then 8 days after the birth of the baby, Mary and Joseph are traveling again. This time they go to Jerusalem to present the baby Jesus to the temple in accordance with the law. Again, not a terribly long journey, about 9 miles, but a difficult one if you're traveling with the baby. But just in case Mary is having any doubts about the significance of her little baby boy, she encounters two strangers. One is Simeon, an old man who is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's been waiting a long time, almost all of his life, in order to see the consolation of Israel. He has been promised by the Holy Spirit that he will not die until he sees with his own eyes the salvation of Israel in the coming of the Messiah. And so he, Simeon, is waiting to see this salvation come in his midst. But the other person they encounter is Anna, an elderly widow who spends night and day in the temple fasting and praying. She too has been waiting for the consolation of Israel. She is a prophetess of great age, but neither her or Simeon carry any official titles. They are ordinary people, just like ordinary people in our churches, ordinary people waiting to see the salvation of Israel, and indeed the salvation of the entire world. And between them, together, they have seen many things. They have seen, because of their great age and their experience, they have seen wars and rumors of wars. They have seen good times and bad times. They have seen leaders come and go. They have seen many, many babies. But now they have seen the salvation of Israel and indeed the entire world in this little bitty baby that Mary and Joseph bring to the temple. Simeon takes the baby in his arms and he praises God. and gives God thanks that now he can depart in peace. He can rest. He can go to his awaited rest, knowing that he has seen the salvation of Israel. And both Simeon and Anna sing and give praises to God because of the redemption and the salvation that they see in this little bitty baby. It's a great, great joy that they share with Mary and Joseph. And we can imagine Mary and Joseph again marveling at these words about their little bitty baby. That this is a special baby. This is a special person. This baby is indeed the one who will bring redemption to the whole world. But then the last verse of our gospel lesson this morning is somewhat anticlimactic, because it tells us that after all the traveling that they do, the traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem to Jerusalem, that they returned back to Galilee and to their home in Nazareth. They go back to Nazareth. After all they have heard, after all they have seen, after all they've experienced, after hearing about what the angels have said, after hearing the testimony of the shepherds, and after hearing again Simeon and Anna, they simply go back to where they had started. They go back to Nazareth. And not only do they go back to Nazareth, but it appears that they go back to Nazareth and nothing at all has changed. Israel is still in need of redemption. Herod is still in control of things. The shepherds probably go back to doing their shepherding. Anna and Simeon probably go back to the temple. And Joseph and Mary go back to Nazareth. Everything seems the same. I say that this morning because that seems to be our experience as well. Every year, beginning with Advent, we embark on this wonderful journey, a wonderful journey of hope and anticipation. We come together, we light the Advent candles, we decorate the sanctuary, we sing beautiful carols. We hear the testimony of the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, and we listen to the old saints like Simeon and Anna, that the child that we've been waiting on, the child that is born into our midst, is indeed the one who will bring salvation and redemption for the whole world. We hear all of that, we embrace all of that, we hope for all of that, and then Christmas comes. We celebrate it with family and friends, and then it's all over. We go back to Nazareth. We go back to our jobs. We go back to our schools. We go back to our old routines. We go back to planning for another year, and it seems like nothing has changed. Here we are just a few days after Christmas, and everything is like it was before we left. People are still killing each other. Poor people are still poor. People addicted to drugs and alcohol are still addicted. Disease like cancer and Ebola are still taking their toll. It still seems the same old world, despite the salvation that we have heard about in the last few days. Someone said that the hardest thing about Christmas is what comes after. It's not the cleanup. It's not the weight gain that we've experienced. It's not the credit card bills that will soon be piling in. No, the worst thing about Christmas is the fact that we wake up on December the 26th and nothing seems to have changed. If it's true what Simeon and Anna say, that this Christ child is indeed redemption, that he is the salvation of the world, it certainly doesn't look like it. Nothing seems to have changed. But that's only if we look at it with the wrong kind of eyes. If we look at things through the eyes of faith and hope, through the eyes of Simeon and Anna, then everything indeed has changed. If we look at things through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of hope, a page has been turned in our dark world. There are various perspectives, or at least two major perspectives, in which we can view reality. One is the perspective of heaven, and the other is the perspective of our world. And from our world, from our vantage point where we sit, it may appear that nothing has changed. But from the vantage point of heaven, everything has changed. It has changed for Joseph and Mary because they go back to Nazareth, not alone, but with the child, with the Christ child, with the Son of God. And that Christ child, that little bitty baby, will grow up. And he will indeed become the salvation and the redemption for his people, and indeed the salvation and the redemption for the entire world. But it's not the kind of redemption that everyone was anticipating. It's not the kind of redemption and salvation that comes through a sword. It's not the redemption that comes by way of revenge, but the redemption and salvation that he brings is the redemption and salvation from our sins. That is to say that he came to bring redemption and salvation from all the ways that we have grown astray, gone astray from God, from all the ways that we have alienated ourselves from God and one another. He comes to bring redemption from that, and salvation from that. He comes to bring salvation from our hatreds. He comes to bring salvation from our selfishness. He comes to bring us salvation from our greed. He comes to bring us and redeem us from the selfishness that is at the center of our hearts. He comes to bring us salvation from the way that we separate ourselves from one another. He comes to redeem us from the idols that we have given our hearts to and the things of this world that we have embraced. He comes to bring us that kind of redemption and salvation. Jesus comes into our midst not only to die for us, but he comes to show us what it really means to live as a human being made in the image of God. And it changes everything. Some people will rise as a result of it. They will embrace it. They will learn what it means to be a human being. And some people will fall because of it. It is not the kind of redemption and salvation that they want. But that's what this little baby brings into the world. He is indeed the Son of God. He is indeed God with us. He is indeed the one who comes to be the light of the world. He comes to show us what it means to love God and to love one another. And that's the great revolution that he wrought in our world. Things have changed. It has also changed for us. Things have changed for us, not because we go back to our Nazareth with the physical embodiment of the Son of God with us, but it has changed for us because we go back to our Nazareths. We go back to our jobs. We go back to our schools. We go back to our routines as sons and daughters of God. That's what this great revolution that Jesus has wrought is all about. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we too now are sons and daughters of God, just like Jesus. We are sons and daughters of God. We are adopted sons and daughters of God, but no less, we are sons and daughters of God, co-heirs with Jesus. We are God's children, called to go out into the world and to be agents of healing and redemption and salvation. We are called not to escape the world. We are called not to run from the world. We are called not to hide from the world, but we are called to go deeper into the world. To go deeper into those places in the world where people need redemption. To go deeper into those places of the world where people need healing. To go deeper into the world to be agents of transformation and change and healing and redemption. Everything has changed because in the Lord Jesus Christ, we too have changed. Christmas was never intended to be a brief interlude of hope after we go back to our regular routines. We all experienced that big letdown after waiting and watching for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was never meant to be just an interlude of hope and then a big anticlimactic letdown. Christmas was always intended to be the beginning of a great adventure. A great adventure. We are called to go out into the world as sons and daughters of God, born again through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be agents of God's redemption and salvation for the whole world. That's what Simeon and Anna saw so many years ago. When Simeon laid eyes on Jesus, that's what he saw. That was the salvation and redemption that he saw. He saw that in this little bitty baby, hearts and minds would be changed. In this little bitty baby, people would go out in his name to go back into the places where they had left. The Nazareths, where they had grown up. The Nazareths, where they learned to love. The Nazareths, where they assumed their identity. They were to go back to those places and to be the light of the world, reflecting the one great light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what Simeon and Anna saw. And that is what we are called to see today. This is a joyous occasion. This is a wonderful time of year. This is a time when we proclaim from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is Lord. But I hope it doesn't stop, because it is December the 28th. I hope we will take that good news and live that good news and go back out into the world as agents of change, agents of love, agents of hope, agents of peace, and agents of joy. Because those are the things that will transform our world and change everything for the glory of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have reminded us that in this little baby, that we have seen our salvation. We ask, Lord, that you help us see with greater clarity what Simeon and Anna saw. Help us to see that in the great love exhibited through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that our world has been transformed and that our lives have been transformed. Help us too, Lord, to be the sons and daughters that you have called us to be. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.